months ago, we barely heard about COVID-19, maybe a few little news items on a place called Wuhan, was it? The place in China that most people had never even heard of. But jump forward and we know now that life has changed dramatically for everyone, not just in this country, but right across the world. There's no doubt that doctors and scientists now know a lot more, but there's still so much work to be done about how this virus is kicking around and what it does and how it affects us. To tell us more is Dr. Anjali Obasi, who's a senior clinical lecturer at the School of Tropical Medicine. Dr. Anjali, thanks for being with us. Really appreciate your time. Good morning.
Inviting me.
Could we just start with your area of expertise? What is it you do?
Okay, so I am interested in interventions and intervention development. So an intervention is something that we do to make something better. And a lot of my experience has been in Africa and working with adolescents and reproductive health. Mm. But there are generic issues about how you design an intervention, how you change the way people do things that are applicable to COVID. And that's what's drawn me into this field.
We've all read and we've all heard of COVID and how it can affect us differently depending on our ethnicity. Why is this? Why does it affect different people from different backgrounds and different countries in different ways?
So the simple answer to that is we don't know. But it's a really important area of study. And it's important because these effects are large. So, for example, Public Health England published a report early last month specifically looking at what is happening with COVID-19 and black and minority ethnic groups. And they summarised what we know to date and also engage with about 4,000 different stakeholders to get their views on the why. So the what of the effect is really quite significant. So if we just take the example of black men, for example, looking at infection rates, the infection rate amongst black men, and I apologise for using statistics, but it's helpful to understand this, is 6.5 per thousand, whereas amongst white men it's 2.4 per thousand. And you can see that that's almost a 3 times increased risk of infection.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big chunk though, isn't it? I mean,
that is
a big chunk. Is it to do with social economic status as well? If you live in a city, or if you live in a densely populated area, or if you're out in the leafy suburbs, or, you know, how your lifestyle is, does that come into play?
Really, really important question. So that adjustment, those figures that I gave you, were adjusted for age and socioeconomic status. But there's a whole range of other things that might contribute. So, for example, we know that black and Asian ethnic groups are more likely to have hypertension, diabetes. These are things that we know are independently associated with COVID. But other researchers have looked at this, and there were some preliminary data that still needs to be unpacked by a research team led by a guy called Ben Goldacre. And they looked at this, and even after you adjust for diabetes, asthma, all of the things that age, all of the things that were known to be important, there is still an excess risk amongst black and Asian groups. And we really need to understand why that is. And then that moves beyond these biological things like having diabetes or having hypertension, and then moves into, and it's not just about your poverty, how much you actually earn. We then have to move into more subtle things like institutional racism, people's experience of stress in the workplace. You know, and these are, as you can imagine, really complicated and difficult things to understand and describe. But they're really important because they may be making people ill, and they may be making people more likely to die.
Right. So from what you've told me there, and correct me if I've got this wrong, as I understand it, if you are subject to poor conditions or stress in the workplace or racism, that can affect your health, that could make you poorly. And when you're poorly, COVID can say, I've got you. There you are.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you. Is that what you meant?
That's exactly what I meant. And there are other areas of research that back this up, We know that experiences of racism, and I'm not just talking about hardcore name-calling, we've become increasingly sophisticated in our understanding of how racism works. So your readers, your listeners may be familiar with the term microaggression, these small, subtle ways of demonstrating that you think slightly differently about this particular minority group or that particular minority group. And they can have cumulative effects that build stress, that, for example, affect the way you relate to health, the health services. So if you're somebody who has perhaps experienced racism or been made to feel uncomfortable in a health environment, it may make you slightly less likely to go to pick up the phone to ring your doctor. It might make you slightly less likely to think that your symptoms are worth putting yourself in a position where you might be feel vulnerable. And you can see how that might affect people's health outcomes. So understanding how those subtle effects work is really important.
It's a really interesting conversation. I suppose when you think you've found an answer and, you know, once you open that door and you go, here's the answer, there's another five or six doors behind there that you need to open to find answers to. It's an ongoing situation for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the research that I'm currently doing, this is a very huge issue. And so we myself and some colleagues at the Liverpool John Moores University are pulling together a collaboration right across the northwest of England. And we want to specifically look about the issue of outcomes and well-being amongst Black and minority ethnic health workers, both in hospitals and in community and residential home settings. And we want to work with the health workers themselves and also people within those organisations, right from board level downwards, to try and unpack these complicated and difficult issues to improve outcomes amongst health workers. Because we know that Black and minority ethnic health workers are significantly more likely to be ill or to die.
Well, we saw that, didn't we, in the early stages of this, you know, on a daily basis, and pictures were right across the front of newspapers, and it was stark. It was there for everybody to see the ramifications of that. Dr. Angela, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time, but a really interesting conversation. I hope you'll come on again in the future. We'll talk some more. Thank you.
I would look forward to it. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's Dr. Angela Obasi, who is a senior clinical lecturer at the School of Tropical Medicine. 19 minutes past 8. Good morning. I'm going to press the